Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pope.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the virtual neighborhood of Life is a Sacred Journey. I am your host, Michelle Pope, and it is always my honor and privilege to come to you on Friday mornings at 8 a.m. on all the variety of platforms that we, Felicia and I met yesterday. We meet every other week. Those of you who are new to Life is a Sacred Journey, welcome. Felicia is our producer, she does a variety of things. I am so blessed to have her guiding me through this part of my sacred journey because I would never have done it on my own, and she has held my hand and made me courageous. And so thank you, Felicia, for everything that you're doing for MPP, which is Michelle Pope Productions, and we're getting ready to send out invitations for something that we're planning right now, so you'll hear more about that. I want to thank her for making sure this podcast is up and wherever it goes. And again, you know, I want a shout out to her mom and her family in Moldova. I love your daughter and I love you. So thank you so much for everything that you blessed and seeded in Felicia, because I am benefiting from all of that. So if you're there right now on the Life is Sacred Journey on Facebook, you can, in your reactions, there's an applause or a heart. Please put that up for Felicia, because I'm telling you, Felicia monetarily does not get a lot for what she does for us because we can't afford it. But at the end of the day, she does it as if we're paying her $1 million. So, Felicia, thank you, and thank you. Come on, hit that applause button. Put up a heart for Felicia, because that's what makes the world go round when we do for each other. And she is certainly doing for me. So thank you. And then I want to send a shout-out to Dr. Pearl, who was our guest last Friday morning. He has really taken Life is a Sacred Journey under his wing. He has shared not just the interview that he and I had, but he has just shared Life is a Sacred Journey with his following. And we went from like 100 and something to like 3,000 and something views because of his openness to share Life is a Sacred Journey with his platform as well. So, Dr. Pearl, thank you so much, and thank you for being courageous. Not everybody who saw the podcast last week agreed with the content or agreed with, what was said, and that's okay. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. Life is a Sacred Journey is a platform where we just want to bring the information. You can take it, as I always say, eat the meat and throw away the bones, or you can decide that it's, you know, it's not for you. But, you know, let's be kind and do no harm when we voice our opinions. I think that's the thing that I taught my children, is you have every right to voice your opinion, even to me when they were growing up. I said, tell me, but tell me with kindness. Tell me so that you don't break my heart and hurt my feelings. The other way of doing it is called bullying. And so, you know, we can have opinions. I have a lot of opinions. Like, what if I told you that, like, I was thinking about this sweater this morning and I thought, is this red? Is this fire engine red? Is this cherry red? Is this, what kind of red is it? Does it have blue undertones? I was just looking in the mirror, and I, you know, you all know who've been with me on Life is a Sacred Journey. I talk to myself all the time, all the time. I think I'm also in some ways talking to God, because I just carry God in me all the time, and so I'm just constantly talking. But again, it's a matter of opinion. All I know is that this color with this lipstick makes my face brighter, and that's why I wore it today. It doesn't matter one way or another what I think is made up the hues of the sweater. It's the fact that I like it and I wear it and it's okay. So thank you, Dr. Pearl, for being courageous and speaking your truth and the truth on behalf of many others. And whether we agree or disagree, we will do no harm when we give our opinions, because that's how life is a sacred journey. That's the track we're on, that every life is sacred and we will do no harm in word or deed. United Methodist, you know that one. All right. So I've been pondering a lot of things. I've been pondering, as you know, I'm on this health kick due to my good friend Carolyn Brent, that I am going to, between the ages of 63, which I am now, and I started this journey in November of last year, until I am 65, I'm on this sort of health kick, spiritual enlightenment. I'm just trying to get whole for whatever comes next in my life. And, you know, I just learned yesterday that California is the second place that people have longevity. The average age is 80 years. Hawaii is number one. California is number two. And so the reality is, I'm not trying to be all stressed out and angry and mean and hurtful to myself or to others. You know, I realize that stress robs us of many, many years of life. Stress robs us of those peaceful sleeps. You know, I'm studying sleep now. And I'm telling you, it is so evident when I do not get that 8 hours of sleep. I'm so happy. Thank you to my son for introducing me to the Fitbit world. I mean, I don't pay for all the premium brouhaha. I just bought he gave me the Fitbit. I, you know, hooked it up. But it tracks my sleep. And I'm only getting 70% of sleep. And I'll have a really good night and then have 80, 90, you know, because I slept for almost 8 hours. And then the following night something comes up and I don't go to bed at the right time or whatever. I'm finding that I really need to be in bed by 9 o'clock in order to get that sleep, that restful, restorative. Because what happens is, when we're sleeping, our bodies restore, our brains. You know, the other thing I'm concerned about, I am getting older. You know, I do work in the field of Alzheimer's and dementia, you know. And so I want to really, as much as I can prolong cognitive health, I want to be able to do that. I know it means remaining active. I know it means a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, we have got to be the captains of our ship. This is my ship. It may look like the Titanic, but this is my ship, and I'm going to keep it from running into an iceberg and going down. So the sleep thing, I'm not successful yet, and I will continue to work with you on that. I'm still in the 70 percentile Wednesday night for some reason, and I think it's because I go to a prayer group on Wednesday evenings for a half hour, 45 minutes, and I've had a good night's sleep. I had my percentage was 81% good, and it you know, I had all the fanfare for that. But the rest of the week it was not. So I'm going to be working on that. I'll continue to tell you. I did take the television out of, you know, because I don't watch television, cable, or none of that. But I do, you know, own videos and sometimes stream in documentaries that I want to see. Thank you, children, because I don't pay for any of that. My children have me on all their plans. Thank you, children. But the reality is, I took that television out of my room, and it's in my sitting room. You all know, that I have a sitting room, that I'm old school, and so the living room is for company, the sitting room is for me, and it's I can watch birds. I'm becoming a bird watcher, so I'm learning more about birds and watching how they interact in my backyard. And so what I'm saying to you, as we're aging, we have to find new hobbies. We have to do new things. We have to create comfort in our lives. And that comfort comes, you know, by having a sitting room instead of having, you know, this big screen TV sitting in the middle of my bedroom, and every time I lift my head up from my pillow, I'm looking into the abyss of a television. That's not what I want to do. And what I replaced it with was candles and you know, just some things that mean a lot to me. And so, and then in the evening now, the other thing I added, I apologize, I forgot, I added music. And it's not Muzak, like elevator music. It's cello with ocean sounds and forest sounds and violins. So the wood instruments, and it plays for 5 hours, I think. And so I've been, and it's in the living room playing, so it's not right, like right on top of me. And the night that I slept, I actually remember to turn it on. Some nights I don't remember to turn it on, and those nights I'm not sleeping well because it's taking me too long to fall asleep. It takes me about an hour after I get in bed to actually fall asleep. So think about all those things as you create comfort. That's the one thing in my research that I'm finding. It says make your bedroom a comfort place. You know, don't do your bills in there. Don't do the stuff in there that means keep the mind active. Do the things in your bedroom that equate to peace and calm and rest. And so your body automatically then will remember that. And when you walk into that space, it will begin to understand what it is that you're preparing and what you want it to do. So that's what I'm learning about sleep. So that's one pondering for you. The second pondering from the sleep thing, because I learned that time was so important, that having a regular time that you go to bed consistently, maintaining that no matter what, you know, every once in a while. But by 10 o'clock, if you really want to get 8 hours sleep, and I'm an early riser, so it really means going to bed early because I'm awake by 5:30. So I have to go to bed early in order to get that 8 hours. So, but I've been looking at time because one of the things, Sister Betty, you'll remember this. You and I were in St. Louis, and we were sitting side by side, and we were talking about time. We were giggling about time and talking about a bunch of things, but we were talking about time. And I said to you, wow, as I'm getting older, time just seems to go swoop, swoop. And you said to me, oh, sister, wait. Well, that's, I don't know how long ago, maybe 2 years we were in St. Louis. And I've been pondering time. And time, as I am getting older, really does go by pretty quickly. Well, I looked it up. Because you know me, I'm going to do the research. I'm not just going to ponder stuff. I'm going to go back and see what the experts say or how other people are experiencing it. And what I found was Adrien Bijon, and he is he's a mechanical engineer professor at Duke University. And he explained that it is as we get older, we also become more obsessed with time. Not time, click, tick, tick time, because there's two different things, mind time and clock time. And so clock time, of course, is, you know, if I push this Fitbit, what time is it? That time. Or if you look up on the right-hand side, your left probably, of the computer, it's telling you it's 8:13 a.m. That's clock time, right? But mind time is how we process, how we're flowing in and out of our lives. And because we do celebrate birthdays and use that chronological clock as a measure of success measure of success. Well, you should have done this by that age, or by that age you should have been this. Oh, my goodness, that person has gray hair already. They're too young for that. So we mix up clock time and mind time. And mind time is the place where as we get older, we begin to reflect more on time or on the times that we have lived. We begin to reflect more on the time that we have left. And so that's why we're shifting in and out of chronological time and mind time. And that made total sense to me. That made total sense to me. Because after I read the article yesterday, oh gosh, after, the one about, longevity and people living in Hawaii and they live to, average age a little bit over 80, we in California 80, I started doing the math, right? Immediately, I was like, okay, you'll be 64 this year, subtract 8, oh my goodness, woo! And I started, look at what I did. I started saying, just because the average age, so to get an average, you've got to have people that live longer, right? You have to have people that live all over to get an average. But I had already in my head planned, I guess, to be out of here in the next, 15 to 18 years. And no! And I know I have nothing to do with that, but that's what our mind does. And so what I'm going to write, and I wrote in my journal last night, is, Michelle, it doesn't matter. Celebrate your birthdays because they're incredible to celebrate a life well lived and a life that that has been gracious to me, even in my my youth where I behaved. Yeah. So anyway, life has been good to me. I am grateful that I am where I am in my life and that I've overcome so many things, some that you in the virtual neighborhood know because you have personal relationships with me. Others of you don't know. But, when people sit before you and they look like they have it going on and they look happy all the time and they're sharing their best self with you, know that there's another flip side, right? There's another flip side. It took a lot of tears. It took a lot of crawling on my knees, and I'm being real with you, to become the woman that I am today, and I'm still not there. I'm still being molded at this very moment, speaking to you. There's stuff going on in my heart and mind, and I'm being molded by that. But, like somebody said yesterday, I'm also grateful for the opportunity to live and experience a life that has so much opportunity. So in our mind time, we have to stop thinking about the end. Not that we don't prepare for it in the sense like, yes, I went to Better Place Forest and I got my tree for my ashes. And yes, I went to the Neptune Society and they got my cremation stuff all set up. And yes, I have a health insurance policy so my kids die. Yes, and yes, that's all planning for the end. But that's the end. And that stuff is already done. So from now until the end, and it's not really the end, it's just that I'll be gone from this, in my mind. I know some people don't believe that, but for me, I'll just be gone from this. I still have the opportunity to live my best life. I could even go and start a whole new career if I wanted to. I've always wanted to go back into retail and to be a buyer, or to be a fashion designer, or just to really go back. I had a certificate of interior decorating and to rekindle that and go back into that creative, because I'm a very creative person when it comes to fabrics and I'm a fashionista. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a fashionista or a buyer, a personal buyer for somebody famous going out and coordinating their outfits. I've thought about that. I still have time to do that. So all of you, live in that. Don't worry about the clock time and the calendar time, and live in that space of time where you can do and be anything you want to be. That you can shine at 60, you can shine at 70, you can shine at 80, you can shine at 90, you can shine at 100, you can shine. Not most recently, Cicely Tyson, one of my sheroes. I mean, that lady could rag it out. Even in her 90s, she came out looking pow, 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 outfits, makeup, hair, bam, bam, on point. She didn't say, oh, I'm too old and frail to wear colors and designs and to go a little. out there. No, she didn't. And she lived a glorious life. She even wrote her autobiography, and it hit the shelves. I'm almost finished reading it. If you have an opportunity to read it, please pick it up. It is an incredible read about a phenomenal woman. And since it's Women's Month, where we're grateful for all the women and all the men that support those women, and the women's movement, all those men like my friend Stuart Furman, who has supported me, supports Carolyn Brent, and also is a great husband to his beautiful wife. He supports women. He gets it that we're all in this together. So this is the month of the woman, and so we need to celebrate women. And if there's a woman in your life, I did this this thing the other day, and Felicia did her magic, put it on TikTok, and I happened to see it because it popped up on my phone. You know, I heard my voice. I was like, oh, my God, that's me. And it was about women, and we need to thank women and, you know, the struggle that women have had to go through. You know, I'm not saying that men don't struggle, you know, because we get so upset and we get territorial about my grief is more than your grief and my pain is more than your pain. Grief and pain are grief and pain, no matter how you experience it, right? But we now have an opportunity to work together and lift up. I'm so happy I raised a son that understands how to love and respect the woman. My friend Sandy Blazer has male sons, and she raised her sons to respect the woman. And so it's not, you know, some people say, oh, you know, if a man respects a woman, well, that makes him, you know, a beta man and not an alpha male and all that foolishness. And, you know, that's not fair. That's not fair. We too busy putting titles on people. You know, my mother gave me a title, my mother and father, the day I was born. And that title was Michelle Pope. They didn't give me any other title. I wasn't born into a holy monarchy where they said, you know, you're a queen or a princess, but they told me I was a princess of the world, and that I, because I could be in charge of my journey and my life. And yes, I strayed away from their teachings in my 20s because, you know, that's 70s and 80s, and that's what 20 in your 20s you did. I became a rebel without a cause. But at the end of the day, those foundational things brought me back to the person that you see before you and put me on that ladder and journey to grow. So that's a pondering that I have had. We got to stop putting labels on people. I don't want no label like that, because then that means if you put a label on me and I do less than what that label implies, then you have a place to judge me, right? Then you have a place to judge me. So that's that pondering. My other pondering was elders. I've been reading so much about elders and people who are living into their hundreds and you know, living their best life. And I wanted to find out, like, what are they doing? How are they doing this? And how are they understanding how to live their best life? And this was an incredible article. I got it out of, boom, boom, boom. It's called Open for Mom and Dad. And it was done in 2015 and re-updated most recently. And this gentleman, Nico Pitney, interviewed 1,500 elders and asked them on advice on living and loving. And one of the biggest regrets that came out of this is that they had the biggest regret that the elders had was they had spent too much time worrying. Wow. I'm a worrywart, so, and I'm learning how not to be, but I am a worrywart, right? I'm in conflict with that because my spiritual self knows I shouldn't worry about anything. But then the human person that walks around and has responsibility worries about the ability to fulfill those responsibilities and all of that. So I live in this sort of hybrid world, and it's weird because sometimes I think to myself, you need to stop. You know you've got this, and if you don't, somebody else does, somebody more powerful. So what is your problem? But again, I was raised on this plane, and so some of the behaviors that I have are not always spiritual, but they come from, you know, that stuff inside of us, that those tapes and things that play. But it says the biggest regret 1,500 people had was they had spent too much time worrying. The other was most of them felt like they had not spent enough time with the people that they love. Wow. We all know that, right? We've been talking a lot about that since this pandemic and shelter in place, and we've learned that people are saying, wow, you know, I had no idea. People were running in and out of houses, living parallel lives within the same roof, but yet weren't really connected with one another. And so that sense of connection that we need in order to survive is so important. But the number two regret was that they had not spent enough time with their family and friends, and they made work. Michelle Pope, Subliminal Mind, are you hearing this? They made work more important. And they could have lived with less. That was the backup to that. That they were striving to work so they could provide for their family, but they realized now in their elderhood, their family could have lived with less. And them spending more time together would have bonded them and made them stronger family, unit, connection, you know. And I know that. I have a cousin who I love so much, and she has made it mandatory for us to get together on Sundays at 1:30, and from all over the United States, you know, and the world, because we have family in South Africa and other places. And so we get together, and not every Sunday does everybody show up, but we are connecting, and we're actually connecting better. And last week, my cousin said, even when the pandemic is over, let's continue to do this. And I was like, wow. So that means we will be connected in a way that we've never been before. And we'll still get together physically for family reunions and all of that. But, you know, we will be connected because now we're hearing about each other's lives every single week. The joys, the pains, we're able to celebrate together. So connect with those people that you love, your best friends, you know, your kindergarten friends, all those folks, and spend time. Even if you have to do it on Zoom still because we're all not vaccinated, but spend time with the people that you love. That is going to be so important, so important. You know, love those people and love yourself because that's what I got out of it. When you spend time with the people you love, right? You start to get all perky and shiny and lovey because it's like being around people you love makes you feel so good. Every time I get a text from my daughter-in-law, from my son, from my daughter, and they text me back or we'll send them a meme or what do you call those things, emoji, I just get so happy. I don't care what's happening in my life. One, because they thought about me. Two, because they said they love me. Three, I get to tell them I love them back. So that was the thing that the elder said that we needed to do better, or that they felt that was something that they could have done better in their lives. And then they said, give up the relationships that hurt you the minute you know they're hurting you. Woo! Okay, a big problem with that one, right? Because I'm a fixer. And so I want to stay in there in the muck and the mire and the pain to say, I'm going to fix you. I'm going to help you. You're going to be better because I'm walking with you. All of 1,500 elders said, walk away from that relationship the minute you know it's not feeding you properly, fueling you properly, and do it in love, but walk away. Wow. 1,500 people. And I'm sure if the pool was bigger, we would get something else. So remember that. Remember that, how important that is. And, you know, and again, I'm not good at that. I'm the worst at that. I need to get better at that because, again, I'm always thinking it'll get better. And maybe that's what they're saying is it may not get better. Thank you. Thank you, Belinda. It may not get better. And if it does get better, then do it from a distance and then rekindle the relationship. But don't put all your life and energy into it because, you know, at the end of the day, we really don't change anybody. And I thought that was interesting. Yeah, yeah. All right, one more. And this was a good one. Marriage is a lifelong path, one that you never perfect and that you are continually working to get better at. You're continually working to improve communication, overcome problems, and establish more interest. You know? So I get that one. I've been divorced for 22 years now, and not really in a relationship that I foresee any kind of marriage or anything down the line with. But at the end of the day, should that happen for me, that is what I will go into the new marriage understanding. I didn't understand that in the first marriage, right? So, you know, we have to take culpability. So I didn't understand that, but now I get it. It is the long term. And because divorce is such an easy thing to do, easy meaning paper-wise, administratively, unless you have money and assets and then you start fighting each other in the public forum. Sometimes, not always, and again, you know, we're only talking about sometimes and whatevers. We all have different situations because nobody should be in an abusive situation at all, no matter what. But sometimes, you know, the person changes, and that's what people do. But because that communication isn't happening, that change happens in a silo, and then the other person is in their silo, and then they're under the same roof, but they don't know each other anymore. So that's where I say you continually are working on improving communication, overcoming problems, and establishing more interests together as you grow and change. So those are some of the ponderings. My last pondering. I this week realized that we are all probably experiencing some form of PTSD, right? Post-traumatic stress. And I think we are because, one, of the pandemic. One, because of violence that has gone on around us, not just in the last 4 years, but the lifting of violence, people preying on elders. There's a man in Oakland, Asian man, that was somebody walked up behind him and thrust him to the ground. He hit his head, and he will never be the same, to rob him. People breaking into people's homes when they know the people are in the house, but they don't care. We've got a thing getting ready to happen up here in Berkeley at People's Park because People's Park, I think, is going to be developed, and it's become a homeless encampment, and now there's a banner up that says save People's Park for the unsheltered. So we're getting ready to have something about that. But everything goes to debate and not to doing. Not to doing. We get in the ring and we fight and we fuss and we shove each other's opinions down each other's throat and choke each other with our just like, do it this way or not. And I looked up the word collective. Collective means come together. Collective means a group. And what if we became a collective of humanity that understood, and I keep asking this question, and I want you to explore this with me. And write in the chat, send messages to us so that we can explore this together. What would it take for this world to become a kinder place. Because we've had the PSAs, we've got the slogans, we've got affirmation books up the wing-wang, I got affirmation cards all through this office, plaques, everything. What would it take? What do we have to do no harm to each other? We are harming each other every day. Even those of us who claim we love people, we like people, we harm with our words and our deeds. Even I have to go, oh, wait a minute, Michelle, don't say that. What did Dr. Pearl say last week? If you think you've said something that is offensive or you've said it to somebody and it does that sort of butterfly thing in your stomach and your heart gets weirded out. For me, I feel when I'm not being good to people. You know, I feel it. Because I'm doing it in my head a lot. I'm not doing it out overtly. I've gotten better at that. Because my opinion in their life, just like this platform, I come and share, I get people to come, but at the end of the day, you don't have to listen to me at all. You don't have to care one way or another about what I say, and that's way okay. For the people that want to hear, for the people who are using some of this information to be the change they want to be in the world, thank you. Thank you. Thank you all so much for coming and being a part of this virtual neighborhood and really saying to the world, you know, we want to be the change. We want to believe in something that's not always people looking at each other. You know, I love it when I can get up in the morning, and I have a friend, Karen, and she and her friend Penny and these other folks, well, they walk in the neighborhood that I live in because I live in a neighborhood, a walkable neighborhood. And when they walk by my house, and sometimes I'm going in and out of the house, putting trash out or doing something, and they say, good morning, how are you? I say, good morning, sunshines, how are you? Have a good walk. That is so cool. Those are my neighbors. Those are the people I church with. They're my neighbors to say good morning. I see people walk by other people, look them straight in the face, never say a word, never smile, you know, because sometimes we can't say anything. Now we have the mask. Smiling is a little bit hard, but you know what? If you're smiling, your eyes change. See? Okay? But if you're mad and that tells me something totally different. Also, we got to stop jockeying for the isms. This is something that I had a conversation with a very learned theologian, collegiate person this past week. We're so busy. If I'm this, my pain is worse than your pain. And we don't see how in our own groups we inflict pain, on the same amount of pain on other groups, but yet we're pointing finger at one group. Because they treat me bad. But then you go off and treat another group bad. I mean, what is that? That doesn't even make any logical sense to me. If it does to you, that's fine. I'm not, no judgment. But I'm just saying that makes no logical sense to me. If I'm telling you don't go do harm to people, and then I go out and do harm to somebody, then what the heck? I almost said something else, but I'll be censored. But, you know, so we need to think about what's going on. And when you talk about somebody from a place of judgment, who are you? I'm going to pick up a stone. I should get a stone. Do I have a stone in here? I do. So we're going to pick up stones and start throwing them at people because we think we know and have the right to judge them. And because maybe nobody knows what your Achilles heel is, so they can't judge you, so you feel all powerful in judging them. This is a rock, but we'll call it a stone. Are you going to throw the first stone? Are you going to be the one to say, Michelle Pope, has no right to be and throw a stone to hit me? Are you going to be the one that throws the stone at the unsheltered people and say, we need that space for this and this and this, and have no, and just put them in another, they're just going to migrate to another place? Did you know we have migration here in the United States of homeless people? That's throwing a stone. That's throwing a stone. And so when we throw stones at each other, in mind or deed, we are not only hurting ourselves, but we're hurting the humanity. I listened to NPR in the car this morning. I only listened to it for a minute because I need music after, because, oh, my gosh. And then I was hearing 10% increase in child abuse in the last year. You know, next week will be the anniversary of our shelter in place in the state of California. 10% rise in children being abused. So, something is wrong. Something is wrong, people. And it may not be affecting your home right now, but it's affecting you, whether you know it or not. It's affecting this world and the energy that we give off as human to human. You know, if you're a person from the LGBTQI community and you have practice implicit bias and racism, then wow! If you're a person that is African-American, and then you go off and you say, oh, yeah, those Asian people, they deserve what they're getting because, you know, they've been mean to us too. Yeah, we've all been mean to each other. No, nobody gets off of that piece of the train. We've all been mean to somebody else at some time in mind, thought, or deed. So where you at so I can throw this stone and hit you for it? No. How do we come together in love, my good people? How do we come together in a place where so much is told to us that we are not? How do we come to a place in this time before we all aren't here and we become compost, that we can walk through, an elder man can walk through a neighborhood without being knocked down to the concrete, and now whatever his life expectancy was is no more. Is no more. How do we stop three black men in Saks Fifth Avenue who weren't stealing, was told the police knew they weren't stealing, the people in the store said they weren't stealing, they had shopped there, but yet they were kept for 3 hours, and the man who reported it got 15 minutes and a fine because it was a false report. How do we stop that foolishness? I don't know. I believe in prayer. I believe in this platform, having the conversation and raising it up as a consciousness that maybe we will think about it. How do we stop men from taking their fists and hitting their women? How do we stop men and women from beating their children? What have we done to this humanity that we are so cruel? And we've been cruel from biblical days. This ain't new. From the history, from the beginning of mankind, we've been cruel. But the one thing we have is choice. And if we all decided, no more, no more, no more, no more war, no more hatred, no more sexism, no more hunger, no more poverty, the world would change. It would. It'd have to, because we would show up differently. So those were my ponderings. And, you know, I cry for this world. I cry, literally cry, lament for this world. Because I know I have played a role in something somewhere. I'm implicit just like everybody else. I don't think I'm better. But I'm really, really trying to be the change that I want to see before I die. I want to see it shift in a more prominent way, not just in my inner circle. My inner circle is cool. My social bubble, my love bubble. Thank you, love bubble family. Love you. But I'm talking about when I leave the bubble and go out into what we call the real world, where I see from time to time snippets of women with beating up other women, throwing drinks on them, and we call that entertainment. Entertainment where people are choosing spouses on television, having sex with them by the third show. I mean, what kind of crap is that? What? Shoot. My mother would say, what the hell? So again, when we let all this stuff happen, right, we get what we get. You know, when we say, no, we don't want to see that mess on our television. How can you put that on television and then say in the same breath, Sesame Street shouldn't be? See what I'm saying? The mixed messaging that we're giving the world. All right. I love you guys. I mean, you are an amazing group of people. You have taken Life as a Sacred Journey and made it a platform that is worldwide. I'm in the living rooms of people that I don't even know. And then, you know, for all of you who hate my platform and hate me, I love you too. And I pray that you will understand that I'm not talking about you or against you. I'm just sharing my heart and sharing what the universe is speaking to me at this time in my life. And again, I've been through so much pain in the last 6 years of my life that I'm willing to share how I moved from there and how I got to this place. And it doesn't mean I'm at perfection. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. And I want to thank all of you. I want to tell you that Carolyn Brent is going to be coming back. We have some more stuff to talk about in reference to her book. And then we will be setting up a little evening chat. And it's going to take place with Carolyn Brent, Wanda Wallace, and I'm looking for one other person to join us in that chat. And we're just going to talk about how we got there, how we got to this place in our lives as women. And so we're looking for one other person to join us in that chat. If you out there would like to be a part of that, please email me or get a hold of us through the MPP website, and we will set that up with you. We want to bring some of you to the platform because you are faithful followers, and I know by reading your comments you have stuff to share. So if you'd like to be a part of that broadcast, please let us know ASAP. We have Dr. Michael Lenore joining us in the next week or so, and he's going to be talking about the African American Health Summit and what's going on here in Alameda County around COVID and other things. We have a poetry reading that we're getting ready. I'm going to be contacting my friend Francis Kakagawa, who wrote Mosaic Moon, which is a book of incredible poetry around being a caregiver and the experience of Alzheimer's. I'm getting ready also to pull together a group of young adults where we're going to be doing another sort of conversation with young adults and so forth. So we want you to join that conversation as well. So we're going to be continue the 8 a.m. Friday platform, but we're also going to be doing some other things on the MPP, Michelle Pope Productions website that will be coming directly out of there, and they're going to be things that are done at different times. We also are in the process of pulling together a retreat, a woman's retreat for the summer. It will be hybrid. It will be online because we don't have, you know, a forum right now that we can ensure everybody's safety. I look forward to the day that we'll be able to do that in person. And so I also want to have a shout out to my little baby friend, my little goddaughter living in Belgium, little Liv, L-I-V, me and my pronunciation. But I love her. And her mom and dad are very close to me. Fred is like a son. He was born on the same day that Milton was born in Belgium, and he was one of my interns many, many years ago, or fellows, and we fell in love. And he has a beautiful, beautiful partner, Katharina, and my godson, Louis, and I love them. But she watches me on the television, and they hold the cell phone up for her to see me so that when I finally get to Belgium, when all of this is over, she will know her godmother, her auntie, the person that loves her very, very much, and Louis will as well. So I want to say mwah to my Belgium family. I love you, and I'm looking forward to 2022 when this is all over, and I will be with you for an extended stay. I might even stay. And actually, I'll do a Life is a Sacred Journey from there. This is a last thing I'm going to tell you. I'm so excited. I don't get to do the ponderings that much. So when I'm here, I want to tell you. The other thing that we're going to do, Felicia and I talked about this. In 2022-2023, we are going to plan Life is a Sacred Journey on the road. So what I am going to do is take probably about a 3 to 4 week sabbatical from ASAP, and I am going to travel across the country and visit face-to-face and have live broadcasts with the people who have been on Life is a Sacred Journey. So I'll be going down to Florida and seeing Carol and Brent. I'll be going up to Canada and visiting Stephanie. I'll be going to different places, and that is so – I'm excited about that. And so we're putting that together, trying to get some sponsors to sponsor that trip, and we will be doing that. So bless you in the virtual neighborhood of Life is a Sacred Journey. Remember to share this, and I'm going to tell you why, because everybody's like, why? Okay, when you share, there is this thing that goes on in the back, logarithms, and they figure out whether the platform is viable. And once they realize that we have people that really want to watch us and really want us to be here, then we begin to get sponsors to help monetize, which will benefit ASAP. None of the monetization at this time is going anywhere near the MPP production. I just want to make that clear. So it will be going to ASAP to support the programming of ASAP. When I retire from ASAP, that will be a different story because we will continue this and then ASAP will be handed over to somebody else to do the great work that it will need to continue to be in the community until there is no more Alzheimer's or people that need care for dementia. So that's the plan, all right? So thank you for loving me, for keeping me honest, for sharing, for writing all of the great thank you to all the people that write the things that, you know, say good job, even those of you who have been critics who, you know, have said certain things that, yeah, hurt my feelings, but I've learned from those things. But if you're really mean, I'm going to let you know. So thank you. I just want to say thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. It's supposed to rain on Sunday, so get your blanket. If you have a fireplace, get some wood early. Sit down, love yourself, be with yourself, and be the change you want to be or see in the world. My name is Michelle Pope. You have just been on a journey with Life is a Sacred Journey called Michelle's Ponderings, and I love you for sticking in there, and have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. Wear your mask. Even if you've had your vaccine, wear your mask so that we can get healthy again. I don't think we'll ever be back to what we were, and I pray that we won't. I pray that we build a bigger and better future where everybody has a place and nobody is harmed and that we do no harm to each other. Have a great weekend. Peace in the neighborhood. I'm out. forgot to save it. OMG, I forgot to record. Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Felicia. Shoot. Oh, I do this. Oh, I hope he's okay. Hug him. I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm gonna learn how to shine. Okay, and so Fred is out now until April. Yeah, he had to take time off because he hadn't taken the vacation time.
I thought he was off last week. He's off until April 9th.
Yeah, but yeah, so April 9th. He may pop in because he has something to do.
Okay.
But yeah, because he had, you know, he never took the vacation. And, you know, that's what Irenia's complaint is always about. And he, okay, we're the only ones up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He, what he did was tell me that he had taken the time, and then when I got the roster, because, you know, I get the roster now, that wasn't true.
I know, I have to watch him on that, because I'll ask him to
I get the roster now, and I said, wait a minute, and then when we got it again, because he accumulated at the higher level, he never changed his, so Jason was like, you make him take it, because that's what I mean, we can't have her keep writing the same thing over and over again. But then the other thing that, I'm going to have a nice talk with him, and you may have to sit in because I don't think any board member is going to be able to come. Because they're all, Jason's busy with funeral, family stuff, and everybody, he didn't go into detail. It's trust. Jason's big thing right now is the person who we trust the least is handling our money.
Right.
And I said to him, and he's like, Michelle, how do you know that it was just that? Maybe it was a part of that. But you don't know what he's doing. You can't trust him. Because he does things solo man. Just like the thing with Johnson. Now they're calling me talking about your alarm wasn't set. I don't want.
That's what I told him yesterday when he came up and he said, Johnson was just here. And I was like, Johnson, he was just talking to control. So I told him that they'd have to go come back and they'd have to leave. And I was like, why? Because he got, that's why he was kissing my face today, because I got things to do.
Because then why didn't he call me and you into that so we could have had a legitimate. Yeah.
All you had to do was stick your head in and say, Johnson's here, we want
to. You want to end this?
And we could have just, you could have gone off for 3 minutes so Joe and him could talk and gone down and said, look, we didn't pay any for that.
Right. Right.
But he didn't, and he didn't say anything to me until after, because I said to him, why didn't you get the show?
And all the IKEA stuff that was downstairs with everybody's stuff.
Yes,
that's not good with the copy.
I said to him, you need to think. I said, you got to think, Fred. Think about it before you just go and do it. I said, you, now you sent him away. There's more supervisors sent him here. Anywhere. So.
We could have ended it. Now I got it. He's made more work for me.
Right.
Yes.
And I just said, you got to think about it first, Fred. Think it through.
Right,
you have to
right.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I'm not going to get it. He says, my mom on it. I said, oh, here. She's sitting right there.
I'm right here.
And then he came back, and he came in like 5 times after that. Because the one time he came in, I don't know if he goes, oh, we're supposed to we needed to all have them back on the program to help get the program to the one that he wants.
Well, but I'm stopping all that. And then he's, and the other thing that
Jason wants to stop is his remote access.
I'm surprised.
He set that up just for him. And it shouldn't just be him. It actually should be our board treasurer.
Yeah, there's no way that he should have access to that.
Yeah, yeah.
What if something happens?
But he sets the, just like that, I caught him in my own personal email. It kept coming up Fred Walker, and I'm like, why is Fred Walker coming up in my Google settings? I found out when, and that's why I had him take the email off of my laptop, my own personal laptop, because he could get in there. So we're changing all that, but the thing I don't like, I even said that to him last night. I said, Fred, we didn't get a chance to do the payroll. And I really want to know how to do it because I used to do payroll. I know it's not that hard. And unless there's a major thing, PRG does most of the work.
She called me last week and she said, I'm trying to do payroll on QuickBooks. And I said, well, what do you want me to send something to the
client? Right, it goes through. Yeah.
And she goes, oh.
Yeah.
So that's really easy. I said, but I can probably.
Yeah. There's no sense in me having to learn it. She's an older lady. She's a QuickBooks expert. She goes, oh, if you have a payroll system that does that, then you really don't need a lot, do you? Because I'm bringing personal.
Yeah. She goes, well, then what do you need really
to look
for the
deal?
And
I said, yeah. And put the damn shit in the proper GL and look into the agent. Yeah, because I told Jason last night, I can't give that to Carol because she's got a.
So, for our next event,
okay.
I found the coolest balloon blower ever.
Oh, wow.
It blows up to 32 balloons at a time. And you don't have to tie them. It does it all for you.
Oh.
It's $9.99 at Walmart.
Are you kidding? Let me put my mask on. I have never. Oh,
okay. Where is it?
Mask, where'd you go?
Ah, here we go. Oh my gosh, let me look at this. My Facebook is still open. Yeah, so Dr. Pearl's up, 3,200 just for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it went viral.
Wow.
Oh, I got lipstick on, hold on. That's the only thing about. Moving from mask to.
So, and you can do it with the helium tank. You put it in this, they all come strung together.
Okay.
And they blow themselves up.
Oh my god!
So, this is it.
Okay.
Oh!
And
it blows them all up on their own.
Oh, we need that. Mm-hmm. What's it called?
It's a bubble balloon, bunny balloon. Bunny balloon?
Oh, that is
oh, bunch of balloons, party pup.
Bunch of balloons.
She said she got them at Walmart for $9.
Bunch of balloons.
Bunch of balloons, and you can hook it up to a helium tank.
Oh, we need that.
Because I'm like, no.
Because that's always so hard when we have to do it the other way.
Are you kidding me? Because it was my godson's birthday yesterday.
Oh.
She got these balloons, right? Because he turned 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you want me to blow up how many stupid balloons? And she goes, oh, don't worry, I got the thing.
Oh, my God. I bet that was
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, stupid tanks, right? I'm going to have to tie this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they come already on a string with, like, a straw that's sitting there. Like,
I saw that, yeah.
9, 18, or 32 at a time. You shove them in the hole, push the button, and they blow up. And then you just, they're like those, what did they call them? Pulling peels, peel parts.
Oh, yeah.
So what this is, you just peel this straw up, peel the straws apart, and then you've got a straw with a string, and you can cut the straw up, or you can leave it on, and they're already attached.
Oh, I love that. And that's so cool.
I was looking at her, and I was like.
That's so cool.
A what?
That's so cool. Okay, I want you to hear this. Hold on.
Oh, she must be on the phone. Oh, it might not be. Leslie? Les?